Hello again, and welcome back to another episode of Freedom and Virtue, the podcast. You'll hear from Dr. Kevin Schmissing, the Director of Research at the Freedom and Virtue Institute and a Research Associate at the Veritas Center for Ethics in Public Life. Here now is Dr. Kevin Schmissing.
A text version of this podcast was published at the Freedom and Virtue Review on April 28, 2023. That version contains links to the various articles and studies mentioned in this episode. For more great content from the Freedom and Virtue Institute, check out the Freedom and Virtue Review, which can be found at freedomandvirtue.substack.com. Back in May of 2020, I wrote a commentary for the Freedom and Virtue Institute about the harm done by widespread unemployment during the pandemic. Even in the midst of fear and disease, I wrote then, we must find a way to empower people to work. If we don't, we will be undermining rather than saving life, health, and human dignity. 3 years later, and in a very different environment, the nature of the challenge has changed, but the problem of work remains just as relevant. The difficulty during the pandemic was enforced unemployment caused by lockdowns and other government-imposed restrictions on economic activity. Although the current situation is not wholly unrelated to the pandemic and its repercussions, the problem now is virtually the opposite: a voluntary rather than coerced withdrawal from work. The basic outline of the issue has been described at length and from a variety of perspectives in many media. Andrew Leston, focusing on the generational aspect of the issue, treated the phenomenon insightfully in a 2022 article for the Acton Institute. But the flight from work is not restricted to Generation Z. A historically unprecedented number of Americans are no longer in the workforce or participate in it in a limited fashion. The spate of retirements and the so-called Great Resignation of the last few years have intensified and brought attention to the trend, but statistics show that the substantial decline in labor force participation had mostly occurred prior to 2020, plummeting from over 61% in 1990 to below 50% in 2012. The problem is especially pronounced among working-age men, a crisis to which observers on both the right and the left have called attention. There is also major geographical variation within the United States. Why is this flight from work a problem? The economic effects are the most obvious. The complications caused by an inadequate supply of workers have been highlighted in public discourse. Short staffing of services ranging from restaurants to healthcare, kinks in the supply chain, long waits, and inflating prices. While these are important, the non-economic importance of labor is even more critical. Work is one of the ways human beings imitate God. It is one facet of our being made in His image. As the Genesis story makes clear, God worked. He created. Through our work, we share in the project of creation. This fact led Pope St. John Paul II in his encyclical on labor to conclude that work is a fundamental dimension of human existence on earth. That the person in some sense connects with God through his or her work means that work does not have a merely utilitarian function. It is not only good in the sense that it is useful or something to enjoy, the Pope insisted. It is also good as being something worthy, that is to say, something that corresponds to man's dignity, that expresses this dignity and increases it. Work is good, John Paul observed, because through it the person achieves fulfillment as a human being. If this is the case, that human beings achieve fulfillment through work, then what happens when large numbers of people withdraw from work? All things being equal, they will not be fulfilled. They will not flourish as they ought. Widespread shunning of work means not only empty shelves, longer lines, and slowing economic growth, it means people who are less content. The link between involuntary unemployment and depression has long been recognized, but it stands to reason that there is a similar link between voluntary work avoidance and unhappiness. Although I'm not aware of any systematic exploration of this relationship, there is research showing that voluntary unemployment in middle-aged adults is associated with increased health risks. Our relationship with labor is one of the many paradoxes that characterize human experience. It may seem on the face of it that work is a state of discontent. We work to make money so that we can have time not to work. Ultimately, so we can retire and not work at all. This isn't wholly inaccurate. It reflects the truth contained in John Paul's adage that work is for man and not man for work. But at a more profound level, it is substantially wrong. Work viewed merely as a means to the end of non-work is not satisfying work, and the leisure to which it is directed, insofar as it's seen as the source of happiness because it is the state of non-work, ends up not fulfilling its promise. It is not long periods of inactivity or indolence that bring a sense of content. What brings satisfaction is fulfilling our duties toward God and others, which happens through alternating periods of work and rest, the time of rest providing necessary rejuvenation and recreation toward the end of returning to work. One piece of evidence for the existence of this paradox is the multitude of articles explaining how to combat post-retirement depression. A headline from a publication of Harvard Medical School sums up the issue. Retirement blues. Taking it too easy can be hard on you. Work is a broad term encompassing much of human activity. It's not restricted to remunerative labor in a for-profit enterprise, although that kind of activity does comprise a large portion of the universe of human work. But work can more generally be seen as any action designed to provide a good or service where a need exists. Volunteer labor for a church or other nonprofit, informal assistance to friends and family in the spheres of childcare, meal preparation or property cleaning and maintenance, and routine chores performed by parents and children in the normal course of family life are all forms of work and provide the same spiritual benefits that paid labor does. If declining labor force participation means simply increasing proportions of effort and attention redirected to voluntary associations, families, and civil society, then the negative consequences are not so fearsome. But that's a big if. Surely some substantial percentage of the time subtracted from the labor market is redirected to empty entertainment, unproductive social media consumption, or even worse, participation in sinful, socially destructive activity. This is a loss for society, but it's also a loss for personal happiness. There are, of course, other work-related problems that should be avoided, including the converse abuse of workaholism, a life disordered by excessive attention to work and its results. Virtue, as Aquinas affirmed, observes the mean, the middle way between excess and deficiency. At every stage of life, work should have some place in our life. If we have no work, we have no means to participate in God's action of creation, no way to join in building the kingdom. If we aren't building the kingdom, then we aren't doing what God created us to do. And if we aren't doing what we were created to do, then we will not experience the deep-seated satisfaction that is its natural result.
Thank you for listening to Freedom and Virtue, the podcast. Now, learn more about the Freedom and Virtue Institute by visiting www.fvinstitute.org. And don't forget to subscribe and give us a positive review. Thanks. Until next time, stay engaged.
I was thinking this was the way to go, and you put up your puppet show. I say cheers to. Oh.